Romans chapter 10. A very familiar scripture, and I need a place to start. And this is where we're going to start at tonight. Feel good to start right here. But Romans chapter 10, I want you to look with me in verse 9. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Boy, ain't that good tonight. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever, boy, I'm telling you, I met that criteria one Sunday night. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I didn't know anything else to do except ask Jesus to save me. And boy, I'm glad that's all it took tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we sure do love you. And we asked you tonight, you'd help us while we preach for just a little while. You know the need of folk that's sitting in here. And I pray you'd touch them and help them tonight. I know we got folk traveling. And Lord, I do pray you'd watch over them and keep them. But Lord, tonight these folk here need something from you. And God, I pray you'd give it to us out of this book this evening. Need you to guard our mind and our thought. I pray that you'd just give us good clarity. Not only a thought, but also a speech tonight. And Lord, we pray you'd hinder Satan from this service. Help us preach, save the one that's lost, encourage the one that needs it. For all this in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You'll be seated tonight. Last week in Vacation Bible School, as Brother Bob was teaching, he made a statement and then just went on by it. He didn't explain a whole lot on it, but he made a statement. And he said there are some absolutes that he had. And that's just the way it is. And then he moved on off of that and went on and taught what he was going to teach. I don't even know how he ended up talking about absolutes. But when something is absolute, it is unconditional. When something is absolute, it is existing independent of any other cause. And I began to think about that through this whole week. I thought about some absolutes as Christians that we ought to have. Some things that are just simply an absolute. It's complete. We're not going to change on it. We're not going to change our mind. We're not going to give up on it. This is just the way it is. Like it or lump it. It don't make, whether I make you happy or mad or sad or glad, this is the way I am. And I think in your life as a Christian, I think you need some absolutes. Now let me say quickly tonight that we serve a God that is absolute. He's not going to change. He said, for I am the Lord and I change not. I'm glad tonight that, listen, whatever he's told us in this book, we can believe tonight. I'm glad he is the same God. What was it? Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm glad that he's the same. But listen, I think we can have some absolutes in our life, in our Christian life, and not only in our Christian life, but in our physical life. Now you pray for me tonight while I preach. Number one, we need some absolutes in our doctrine. We're living in a time when folk is giving up on what the Bible says. That's the reason I read tonight what I read. I believe this is how you get saved. I believe Romans 10, 9 and 10 and verse 13 explains salvation no plainer than anything else. That if you'll believe the gospel, the death, the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and call on him to save you, he'll do that. I have an absolute on what I think it takes and what I believe for men, women, boys, and girls to get saved. You look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died according to the Scripture and was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Paul said, that's what I have received. Listen, what did you receive to get saved? How did you get saved? I'll be honest with you. You know, we talk about man has to realize he's a sinner, that he needs a Savior. And I understand all that. You do got to come to that place. But sometimes you come to that place and it all happens at one time. You know, in my mind, I like to compartmentalize everything. And you got to be careful with that mess, especially in your spiritual life, because, friend, you'll get so confused on some things. Hey, I know God dealt with me that night. He showed me I was lost. He showed me I needed to get saved. And I moved and got saved. Amen. That's all that matters. Amen. And I thank God for that. But man is a sinner. That's an absolute tonight. There's a lot of folk, they don't even know whether man's a sinner or not. The Bible said that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Needed a Savior. Listen, you to be saved, you have to believe that Jesus died for you, rose again for you, listen, and took your place. You can get saved, amen. You know, I was taught salvation all my life. So believing about what Christ done was not a problem. Believing he was virgin born, that's an absolute for me. That's an absolute. Proves his deity tonight. He is God. Amen. I do believe that salvation is a free gift. That's an absolute for me. What was it? For by grace were you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That not of yourselves. He said it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's an absolute. Salvation by faith through grace is the only way to get to heaven. That's an absolute. We're living in a time where folk believe you have to work to get there. I think folk have kind of in one aspect or another all over time have believed that they could work their way into heaven or be good enough to get to heaven because they cannot grasp or understand grace. Can I tell you tonight, I do not understand grace. I don't understand it. I don't understand how that works, how that God would send his only begotten son to die for the world who was wicked and vile, and he was willing to send Jesus, and Jesus was willing to come and die. I don't understand that tonight. I don't understand that, but I believe it. But just because I don't understand don't mean I can't believe it tonight. I was listening to a feller today just for about 5 or 10 minutes, and it got so far above my head so fast that I just quit. I just quit. And they're talking about some things that they have learned in since 2016 that they have figured out that it's almost like it's a new propulsion system, man, that just does not use fuel. They're talking about static electricity and electromagnetism and all that mess. I don't listen. That thing got so fast over me. If they show me that it works, I guess I'll believe it. I may not have a clue how it works, but I'll believe that it does. I don't know, to be honest with you tonight. I know Jesus saves because his word said so. I have experienced, I've seen it worked in other people's lives. But why he would do it, I have no idea, other than that he loved us. That's an absolute. Salvation by grace through faith is an absolute. Being saved, I'm talking about doctrine right now. Being saved eternally is an absolute. I don't think you can lose it. I think if you've got it, you've got it. It does not matter what you do. You cannot lose it. You cannot get unsaved. You can't sin bad enough to get unsaved. I mean, he said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. I believe we're sealed. Ephesians 1 talks about being sealed. Once we have believed the word of truth, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise over there. We got sealed. That's an absolute. You say, this is all elementary. It is elementary. But we're living in a time when, friend, that folk don't even believe in elementary things anymore. I mean, we make fun of it, but we talk about that in the educational system that they don't believe that 2 + 2 = 4. I'll guarantee you there is somebody out there teaching that 2 + 2 = 4. Can y'all count? Surely y'all can count. That's 2 and that's 2. You know what that equals? 4. You know, when he said over here that, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life, you can believe that. That's an absolute. You do believe you're saved eternally tonight, don't you? I'll be honest with you. I remember I was thinking about her just the other day at the nursing home. Miss Margie might have to help me with the last name. But I remember going to see Miss Beulah Dean. Miss Beulah Dean, her husband had been Church of God pastor for years. And he had done passed on and went on to heaven. And I'd go in and visit with her and talk to her. Me and her had some great times in the Lord. We did. I'll tell you how that I met her one day. She wasn't on my list. A lot of times they'll give me a list of folk to visit. Might need to see the chaplain, see the preacher, and I'll go visit with them. And I just took that list one day and I said, Lord, who do I need to go see? I was just praying over that thing and I just stepped into her room and introduced myself and told her who I was and she said, you know, I was praying that the Lord would send somebody by just to visit. You know, the Lord knows what's needed and how it's needed and when it's needed. And I love to be able to be part of something like that sometimes. But you know, as she was getting closer to leaving here, and she knew she was getting close to leaving here. But that Church of God doctrine kicked in on her. And she said, boy, I'd hate to mess it up down there at the end. Not get in. That bothered her. There ain't no amount of messing it up that's ever going to get you unsaved. Listen, there is no man, all you moms and dads in here tonight that has brought your children into this world, there is nothing that can change that. Nothing. Don't matter what kind of paperwork's filled out, does not matter who comes by, don't matter who says what, don't matter what the judge says, it changes nothing. Brought them into this world, they're yours. And listen, when Christ, saved us and we were born again, as you talk about in John 3 and talks about in the book of 1 Peter, he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. When he birthed us into the family of God, we're his. I'm his eternally. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I believe I'm saved eternally. That's an absolute for me. I believe in the saints and the sinners' eternity tonight. I believe there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shine. When Paul talks about in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he talks about the third heaven, being called up into the third heaven, me and you see the first heaven, and of the nighttime we see the second heaven where the stars are. And if you've got a telescope and all that mess, you can see out into the second heaven, but we've not got to see the third heaven. But you know, he said in 2 Corinthians 5, we are confident in saying we'd rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's an absolute. I believe heaven's an absolute for the child of God. I believe that's where we're going. I don't believe in soul sleep. I don't believe in purgatory. Listen, all that mess, I don't believe in none of it. I believe that when we die, we go be with the Lord if you're saved. If you're lost, then you're going to die and go to hell. Luke chapter 16. You can go over there and read that, and he tells us about the rich man over there. In Luke chapter 16, he said this, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You know, Brother James Langston had a dog named Moreover. That's why he named him. Moreover, the dogs. He called him Moreover. That's why he named him Moreover. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried in hell. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You say, you know, I talked to a feller just Friday in the nursing home. He could not understand. And he professed Christ, but he still, you know, he knows he's, I believe he's got cancer, and he knows he's coming down to the end of some things, and trying to figure him out and trying to get him to tell me, you know, he'd tell me that he was saved, but then he would fall off over here and just ain't sure about some things, and And I get, listen, I get want to make sure you're saved, especially if you know you got cancer and it's a killing you. I'd want to know that too. I'd want to have assurance on that thing. But he just kept saying, I can't see why God would send somebody to burn in a fire forever. I said, because they reject Jesus Christ. That's why. I mean, there's no other reason in that is because man is a sinner, and by rejecting Jesus Christ, he still remains a sinner, and he's going to be separated from God forever throughout all eternity. You know, Revelation 20 talks about the great white throne when death and hell is brought up before the Lord and all those that are lost. The dead. He calls them the dead over there. I'm talking about some absolutes. You know, when you die and go to hell, that's an absolute. You can't get out of it. There's no purifying for your sin. There's no getting better. There's no purging it out. It's like going to heaven. Once you get there, you're there. You can't leave. Thank God for that. You know, the verse 2 of How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. In heaven no drooping, nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. Ain't that good? Hey, listen, when I sing that song, every time I get to verse 2, I get excited every time that I sing that verse right there. Because when we get there, listen, I love where I live. I love my nation. I love the country. But I know that when I get there, I'm not going to be anywhere else. Amen. I love it. Tonight, it's an absolute. If you die lost, you're going to die and go. You're going to go to hell. You're going to be in the eternal lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 says so. Says that those were not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's an absolute tonight. I can go on and say a lot more about doctrine tonight. You know, some doctrine I'm not absolute on. You know, we can talk about the gap theory or the gap fact. I'll argue either side if you want me to. It don't matter to me. We've had some great discussions on that on Wednesday night. I said some things back there at the back door. Me and Brother Jeremy was talking, and Hunter, boy, I'm telling you, we talked. He said, boys, you are blowing my mind back here. And I like that. He began to think about some things. He began to think about Scripture, what the Bible had to say. He began to think, and he said, you're just blowing my mind. But listen tonight, there are some absolutes in this Scripture. That brings me to number 2. Can I tell you tonight, the Scripture is absolute. The Scripture, this book, is absolute. Can I tell you that I'm absolute on a King James Bible tonight? The only way that you'll get me to believe anything different is if I lose my mind. Amen? If I'm not in my right mind, is the only way you're going to do it. But listen, I believe this in absolute of this because of the promise of the preservation of the Word of God tonight. What do you mean? He said in Psalms chapter 12, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I believe He preserved it. Now, if I do my math right and I understand history right, some people no doubt will argue with me, and that's okay if they do. But if I understand things right, I believe this is the 7th English-speaking Bible. Now, you go figure that. Holding the King James Bible in my hand tonight, I do believe in the preservation of it. You ought to study the history on that thing sometimes. About everything God done to get it in the English language, and then everything God done to keep it so that me and you could have it tonight. I believe it's an absolute because of the promise of the preservation, but I believe it's an absolute because of the performance of it. I've seen this book work. I've seen it work. Some of you are still waiting on it to work, and it'll work. But I've seen it work. I mean, it's an absolute. I know, hey, listen, it's like this. It's like this. When you get in the midst of a battle, and you will, if you're going to live for Christ, Brother Jeff started on that this morning in Sunday school. But when you get in the midst of a battle, you need something to fight with. And it's this book. I mean, it is the sword of the Spirit, the word of truth, the word of God tonight. This is what we use to fight with. It'll work. It's what we believe. It saves sinners, don't it? Let me say this tonight. If I had something in front of me that I could not read and believe, then I'd just shut it and go on. What makes me wise enough and right enough to figure out which one's right? You understand what I'm asking tonight? Let me ask you this question. A lot of people, figuratively, what verses they don't like or they don't believe that should be there, they basically just take a Sharpie marker and just mark them out. Now, what gives you the right to do that? You see my question? What makes you smart enough? What makes you wise enough? What makes you spiritual enough? I'd be able to say this verse belongs there, but this verse does not. If I couldn't believe it, then I wouldn't even want to bother to believe Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Shut your Bible, go home, have a great life, and die, and let's move on. I mean, I'd hate to live thinking that it could be more than one way. I'd hate to live to think that I couldn't believe this book or that it's changeable or any of those things. I've seen that. You know why I believe it? Because of the performance of it in other people's lives, but for the performance of it, it's in my life. I've proved it over and over and over again. I've proved it to be true. I've proved it the Word. Listen, I believe this book's perfect tonight. I do. I believe in the perfection of it. You know, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalms 19. I believe it's perfect tonight in the form that it sets. I believe it's perfect. It's an absolute for me. That's what makes my life so simple. I think I live a simple life. Why? Because I just believe a book. Where people love a book. And that's it right there. It's an absolute. You want to know how to run your life? Read the book. That brings me to number three, the absolute. Not only is it do I have absolutes in my doctrine and what I believe, an absolute in this book on the King James Bible. Now I just scratched the surface on that. But listen, I have absolutes in how I'm going to live. I think you need absolutes in how you're going to live. You know, what you will allow and what you won't allow, what you will do and what you won't do. Being separated out of this world. I mean, I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Body's a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He said to be transformed from this world. Be different. I want to be different. So to be different from this world, then I can't do worldly things. Right? 1 Thessalonians 5, he said, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it looks evil, don't fool with it. Not that it is evil. He said, if it's evil, don't fool with it. But he said, if it even looks evil, just don't touch it. I read that verse the other night when I was getting studying this message, and my mind went back to a time when we were building our house. And at that time, I loved to drink IBC root beer. My stomach can't handle that mess now, but I loved IBC root beers. And we'd buy them. And you know, they're in glass bottles, and they look like beer bottles. And I remember one day while we were finishing the house, I hadn't even really moved in, and I'd had just a couple of them sitting on the island there, and I looked through the window, and there sat a couple of them bottles, and there sat a thing of peanuts. I thought, man, it's like I got a bar in the house going on here. And you know, if the wrong person come up here and looked in my window and seen the peanuts and the beer bottles, that's what they're going to think. He said, preacher, you're being kind of hard. Maybe, but I doubt it. He said, abstain from the appearance of all evil. I've got a testimony on the line for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you do too. You need some absolutes and how you're going to live, what you're going to do, what you're not going to allow, and what you will allow. You know, in other words, what you will watch on TV, what you won't watch on TV. Whether you got a TV. I'll be honest with you, me and my wife, we have to back up and we watch stuff that's old. We don't watch nothing new hardly. They ain't nothing fit to watch. They ain't. I mean, I'm just being honest, they ain't nothing fit to watch. I mean, what kind of music you're going to listen to? It matters. It all works on your brain and on your mind. What kind of people we're willing to be around. Now, I'm not talking about to go out and witness to somebody and befriend somebody when they need it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about who will have company with and those things. It matters. What kind of language we have matters. Or to have good language. What was it? He said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know that you ought to answer every man. I've got some absolutes about how I'm going to act and what I'm going to say. I've got some absolutes about what I'm going to let in my house. I mean, why would you sit there and watch something that is vulgar or have bad language? I mean, would you let somebody come in your home and sit down and talk like that? I mean, I wouldn't, but yet we'll let it come in on the TV, or we'll go to the movie theater and pay $20. Is it more? I don't know. I ain't been to a movie theater in a long time. But pay to go watch a mess. What you're going to let your children do and not do? Some absolutes. More than one of you all have told me this, that you've told your children, if you're going to live here, then you're going to have to go to church. You know what that's called? An absolute. It's an absolute. I think that's good. Amen. You're doing good, preacher. I mean, absolute. About how they're going to dress. Talking about your children. About how you dress. Or to have some absolutes. Doesn't matter. Your attendance to church, you all are here tonight, and I thank you for being here tonight. I really do, but we're going to be faithful to church no matter what. I know there's some things that gets in the way from time to time that is beyond your control. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about things that are out of your hands. I'm talking about when you have the opportunity to come and you choose not to. And let me say this, there's some things that some people need to fix, and it would be even better. What about an absolute on your tithing and your giving? There's some absolutes. I talked about tithing this morning, there toward the end of the message. Let me put it to you like this. Me and my wife, we're absolutely going to tithe. It's the bottom line. That's just the bottom line. That's what we're going to do. I figure the Lord has given it to me. He has made it available to me. And He has blessed me far more than what I deserve. I can at least give Him some of it back. I think He requires it. What about what the world sees out of us? Some absolutes. Not only how we dress and how we act, but what about in our work? What about in our spiritual work? Do we have some absolutes in that? I'm this way. There is no way, and I talked a lot about this morning, but there is no way that I would come in here to preach without having prayed and studied. Now, I may not preach what I've studied, but there's no way that I would come and just say, well, the Lord's just going to have to show up. Ain't no way. If the Lord don't give me something to preach, I'm a sweating bullets, man. Some of them boys I know, they'll say, I don't know what I'm going to preach till I get ready to get up. More power to you, more power to you. Now, have I got up to preach? Yeah, I have over the years. I mean, it's really been that way, and I believe God directed in that way. Sometimes I think He wants to know. I think He wants to know if we're going to follow Him, and other times I think we've missed it. But I'm going to do my diligence to work at it, to study at it. Not to be slothful at it. Not to be lazy in it. I think that's the way we ought to be in our regular work. Not to be slothful in working. I mean, even on the job, if you work a public job, I think you shouldn't be slothful in that thing, because if you bear the name Christian, then folk are going to see that thing. One of the things that pastoring full time has taught me is it has taught me that I had to learn how to get disciplined. Because as long as I worked a public job and somebody said, you need to be here at this time, you go home at this time, I didn't have a problem. And you need to be at work at 7, you get off at 3:30, man, 7:30, we're good to go. I may come dragging in at 6:59, but most of the time I was there by 6:30, 6:40. It's taught me how that I've had to stay after things, because it's just me and the Lord. He's the one that I'm answering to. And I'll be honest with you, you all are going to be able to tell if I hadn't been studying and praying. It's going to show up after a while. The Bible said that the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse the labor. There's labor in the real world, in the physical world, if I can say it that way, and there's labor in the spiritual world. It's just labor, it's work. There's just some absolutes that we need to have. I'm absolutely going to serve God. I'm absolutely going to go to church. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. There just needs to be some absolutes tonight. Let's bow our heads across the house.